Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Brewer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we kicked off a brand new series we're calling Labels. And we are looking at, looking at the Gospel of Luke. We're going to kind of highlight throughout our study of the Gospel of Luke, just how Luke oftentimes shows us Jesus showing compassion, love, choosing those who are the most marginalized, people who have been labeled, if we can say it that way, by society, called sinners and tax collectors and the poor and the leper, the lame, folks who are just looked at oftentimes by those who consider themselves to be righteous as less than. And Jesus calls them and shows such compassion and love. And so we're talking in this series about how, you know, the gospel calls us to a life above labels. We certainly live in a culture that wants to label everybody, put you into a certain camp, and Jesus calls us to follow him, and our following of him should really transcend those labels. And so this Sunday we were specifically looking at chapter 1 of Luke. We looked at the episode where the birth of John the Baptist is described, the one who would come before Jesus, who would tell the people of Israel to prepare their hearts for the coming of King Jesus. And we saw Zechariah, his father, in the temple. And the angel Gabriel speaks to Zechariah and tells him that he and Elizabeth, his wife, even in their old age, are going to have a son, that it's going to be miraculous, that this child is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth, and that he's going to prepare the way for Jesus, that he's going to fulfill several Old Testament prophecies about the coming of this one who's going to prepare a way in the wilderness for the coming of the Lord, who's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers. And it referenced back to these Old Testament prophecies. But one of the things that I noticed, just to sort of zoom out, what's really unique about this moment is that when Gabriel speaks to Zechariah, it's been 400 years since they've heard God speak in this way. There have been no prophets for 400 years. And it's not that God wasn't active at all during that time, that God didn't do anything during that time, but it was recognized during that 400 years, like, hey, the Lord has stopped speaking to us in the way that he once did. And several of the writers of that time would talk about until a prophet comes, until someone comes to speak. And so there's been sort of this lull in God's activity, at least in this sort of way. And then all of a sudden the silence is broken. And you see here at the beginning of the New Testament, right, in the beginning of when Zechariah hears from the angel and Gabriel says, hey, you're going to have a son and he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. John is sort of like the last of the Old Testament prophets in a sense, right? Even though he's part of the dawning of the new age, he's also fashioned after Elijah, and he comes and he's saying, hey, the kingdom is coming. Jesus says the kingdom of God's here, right? John is sort of like, man, the kingdom of God is near. Prepare your hearts because the king is coming. But this is the breaking of the silence and God speaking after 400 years of waiting. And it caused me to reflect on the fact that God's timing, and the scriptures say this, right? God's timing is so different than ours. His ways are so different than ours. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. The New Testament tells us that God doesn't count slowness the way that some of us count that, that 1,000 years are like a day to him and a day like 1,000 years. And I think in our culture, it's so easy to, you know, we pray something and it's like, if we don't get an answer that day, you know, I prayed it and like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna look for a week or a day. I know in my own heart, right? It's just so easy to, I get, okay, move on to something else. And if God didn't answer, well, then God didn't answer my prayer. And it's like, God hears those prayers. And I mean, he can say yes, he could say no, he could say not yet, right? I have something different planned. And I was reflecting on this recently with my brother, actually. He and I were talking recently, and we were reflecting on, man, we live in a culture that is, and I'm, you know, of course, many, many people have said this, right? This instant gratification culture. We live in just an instant culture in a lot of ways. Technology has developed in such a way that so many things that once took a long time take a very, very short time now. I don't have to send a letter and wait for a few days for it to arrive somewhere. I mean, I send a text message, it's there instantaneously. We can get food instantaneously. There's just so many things. It's like, I can get that now. But I think what happens sometimes, a side effect of living in a culture that's instant in so many ways, is we begin to think that everything is instant. And that's just not the case. There are some things that can't be microwaved. Relationships, right? Our marriages, parenting, spiritual growth, sanctification, can't be microwaved. And God's process and the way God works, he is not on our timetable. We can't demand of him, you're going to do this, you're going to do it instantly. No, no, no. Like the Lord, it may take a long time. You may pray something, it may take a long time to see the fulfillment. Long suffering, it may take, I mean, here it's 400 years where the people of God could have easily said, oh Lord, have you just forgotten us entirely? And the answer is no, he hasn't. It just wasn't time yet. And then when the time came, God steps in, breaks the silence, and says, hey, the coming of Jesus, it's here. And so I'll just close with this. I know that it's hard. And I know that, I mean, I feel it too. Like we want God to answer us now, right? God, tell me what's going to happen now. Show me what's going to happen now. Intervene now. But to wait on the Lord, to trust him, means also trusting his timing. And saying, Lord, you know, even if you don't respond in the way that I want and the timing that I want, I trust you and I'm going to wait on you because I know that your timing, different than mine, but it is perfect. Let me pray for you. I want to encourage you to take some time to pray for yourself. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you always make good on your promises. You do not forget, Father. When you say something, that you're going to do something, you will accomplish it. Even though, Father, it may take longer than what we think is reasonable or right, Lord, your timing is perfect. And I ask that you would help us to trust that as we trust you. God, we love you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.